Let's go ahead and pray again. Lord, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for your word and what you've placed on my heart this week and what you're just bringing forth, Lord God. I pray that as we come before you, Lord, and want to hear from you, Lord God. We want to exalt you. We want to praise you, Lord. We want to learn what it means more to surrender our lives to you, to let you move and direct and guide us, Lord, that we can just grow closer to you, Lord, and that overflow of our love for you will hit other people, and they'll be touched, and they'll want to know what that means. Lord, I pray that that we receive your word today and encourage us on our journey with you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be in Philippians 1:10 today. Last week, we were encouraged with Paul that to live in the present living of love in our relationship, that we looked in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 is one of the passages that we looked at, and that all those words that we see in English as describing what love is are actually action words, what love is actually doing in the moment. And they were all in the present tense, so that we're living in the present tense of that action of love, and that it is to overflow in our lives. And that's only going to happen when the Holy Spirit, we allow him to take control and we allow him to move and let his character rise up within us as we take a back seat. And I think it's really important for us is that we not only, when we hear a message, if it's in a Sunday school message or if it's in a situation like this or if it's on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, that we're often reflecting on what God is doing in our hearts. Because if we're coming to see more of Jesus and we ask him, Lord, I want to see more of you, he is going to present himself and he's going to let himself be seen and he's going to move in our hearts. So it's very, very important for us to not only hear a message, but then to meditate on that message, to let it resonate, to reflect back on that message, because it's very easy to go to the next day and go, what did I do over the weekend? If I'm not contemplating on it and thinking about what I did the day before, or even sometimes even in that morning, if I'm not thinking about those things, I forget about them, and I lose the gems that God is speaking to me, and we don't want that to happen. So as we reflect, my question to us is, have we been asking the Holy Spirit of God to show us where he wants us to rest in his work and let his love overflow in our lives? That's really the biggest question for last week's message. Are we letting him do that? Have I asked him to continue that process of what he started last week? If we haven't, that's okay, because he's ready to continue on where we're ready to walk with him. Isn't that a beauty? So if I said, Lord, I forgot about that all week, it's okay. Lord, help me. Remind me of what you've done last week. How do I live in love right now? Because I can guarantee he's going to show you and he's going to challenge you and he's going to reveal to you where you're walking in your flesh and say, that's got to stop right there. Let me work in your life. So this week, let last week's message continue to resonate and continue to move us forward. And what Paul wants to continue to walk, to encourage us to walk in, may this continue with us this week as well. I'm going to start back in verse 9 and continue forward a little bit, just to get a little bit of context of where we're at. So it says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment." We talked about that amount of abound more and more, still more and more, is the overflow of what God's love in our lives is doing. And in verse 10, our verse for today, "so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ Jesus." And you may be seated. I'm going to explain this verse just a little bit, and then we're going to go into some areas where I think that the Lord is wants us to really sit on in this passage here. So in verse 10, it starts out with the verse "so that," or in that verse. So this word he uses in the Greek, he uses it with an infinitive because he wants to put purpose in what he's going to say next. So that the purpose is that we may approve what's excellent Okay, the things that are excellent. Now, next week we're going to talk a little bit more about these excellent things because it's going to tie in with verse 11. So I'm going to hold off on that a little bit today. But the purpose of why God, what Paul wants his love in verse 9 to continue to grow and rise within us is so that we can approve the things that are good and excellent. Okay, but I want to settle in on the second part, and that is, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. And the Lord's really pressed this on my heart this week. He also uses the word ena, which is also a word that means in order that, which also gives purpose. So he's giving two points of purposes in this verse for us. One we'll look at next week, how do we examine things, and the second one, so that we can be blameless and pure in the day of Christ Jesus. Very important things to look at. One of the things that have come forth when I think of this passage this week is there's things that we value and we see as very important. When I think of that second part of the verse, that we'll be pure and blameless into the day of Christ Jesus, there is a value in that day. When I look ahead, there's it's an important day that I can think of, I can look forward to. And Paul doesn't want us to miss this. He doesn't want us to, in this time of life right here with us, he doesn't want us to miss what we're going to experience later. Because we can. We can miss it very easily. Because after this word, in order that, there's a subjunctive form in the present tense, which is to the verb to be, which says, y'all may be. And I use y'all for me when I translated it so that I can understand. We're talking about more than just one person. And we're in the South, so this is good. I love it. So, but the important part of that is that there is, when we're talking about the subjunctive here, there's a possibility of this happening or a possibility of that happening. So we have seen the thread that Paul has talked about. We come into the presence of God. God has He has done everything on the cross for us. We're not talking about that I'm earning my way to salvation. Jesus has always, he's done everything on the cross for us. But he's invited us to be a part of this relationship. So Paul is here telling us, through this thread that we've already looked at with the covenants bringing in, that the us being willing to be a part of it. So right now, I can be willing to be a part of what God is going to do to make me pure and blameless to the day of Christ Jesus. But I have a role in this. And if we can get this kind of this picture in our minds as we look through this passage, where if I'm sitting on a pew, and the Lord says, get up, and I stay in the pew, I'm not partaking in what he's just asked me to do. I'm doing what I want to do, and I'm sitting on the pew, okay? And I just sit there. But if God says to come, I'm being invited to do something with him, and I'm going to get up and go in that journey with him. Does that make sense? So I'm going to kind of get that visual picture of this part of the passage that he's done everything on the cross, but he wants me to partake in something that he's doing, so he's going to invite me to continue to go with him. But when I think about the most important things in life, there's things that, those are the things that take most of my time, most of what I think about, most of what I'm actually involved in. And I can look back, and I encourage us to look back in this week, what is it that I thought about the most? What is it that I did the most? What is it that was most concerning to me the most? Because that, if what that is, that's what I'm wrapped up in. I think of things that I'll just skip that part. That's meaningless. But things that I think about and what's the most important to me, how I handle situations, do I want to handle them on my own strength? Do I want to do these my way? Do I spend more time watching sports? Do I spend more time on the computer, on Facebook, or on things that are captivating to me? What is it that captivates me? Those are the things that might overshadow Jesus in my life. And Paul doesn't want us to miss this, because we have a great day at the end that we're going to see Jesus. Now, it's important for us to really understand that I got ahead of myself a little bit here in my thought process. And I'm going to jump back a little bit. Yes. Okay. I apologize for that. But it's really important for us, as we accepted Christ for salvation, that we are not only, we're not done there. That's just the beginning of the journey. And there's a continuation of that journey, but we often, in the midst of that continuation of the journey, something else gets in the way, and it takes our minds off of the most important, Jesus. So when I come to know Christ, he says, now come and follow me in the rest of it. So I cannot accept Jesus as my Savior and just put him off to the side as the Lord, but I have to accept him in as the Lord of my life as well. In Acts 2:36, it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, who being Jesus, the Lord and Savior, this Jesus whom you crucified. Paul is very clear that it's very important for us to understand that it's Jesus who died on the cross. He is the Savior, and I love that part. But he's also the Lord, and I need to follow him as Lord in my life. So I'm going to sacrifice my wills and my desires for him, and until I see him face to face. And it's at this part where we become the bride of Christ, where I walk with him. And in Paul, as he's saying, we're going to see into the day of Christ Jesus, my mind goes to, we are the bride of the Lord. He is our husband. And God gives us this beautiful picture of a husband and wife that, so we understand the closeness and the depthness of this relationship that Paul doesn't want us to miss. The physical oneness mentioned in Genesis 2:24, that they shall become one flesh, that a husband and they will leave our mother and father, become one flesh, is a symbolic and a picture of something that's going to be even deeper and more intimate later on. This is just a shadow of the truth of what God is going to, what he has done for us, that we have become sons and daughters in Galatians 4:6, that he has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into our hearts, that we cry, Abba, Father. This is where we become the bride of Christ. We become one with him in that the Spirit is now living in us. And Isaiah 61:10 says, and I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will exalt in God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with garland and a bride adorns herself with jewels. Jesus, as we walk with him, he's going to be the dresser. He's going to dress us in these beautiful characteristics of who he is and his of himself. And also he rejoices in Isaiah 62, says that as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so God will rejoice over you. And when Paul gives us that last part, that we have the day of Christ, we're going to be with him. This time of marriage, this time of a relationship united for eternity in the presence of God, this wedding feast is going to be established, and he is going to rejoice over us. He's not only going to dress us if we allow him, he's also going to rejoice over what he's done in our lives and how we've let him be the Lord in it. He also presents in Ephesians 5:24-25, Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing in the water of the word, that he might present himself, the church, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or in any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. So Jesus is going to present us as holy and blameless. He's going to work in our lives in such a way that he has seen. He's going to wrap us in beautiful, beautiful garment if we allow him. And then he joins us for eternity in the day of Christ Jesus. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And in verse 9, right, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Things that we have to look forward to. God is working in our lives, but at the end we're going to join this wedding supper with him in the presence of our Savior who's given us a new life. Paul doesn't want us to miss the future. Because in the present, in 2 Corinthians 11, we're warned, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind will be led astray from the simplicity and pure devotion of Christ. And it's here really where I believe the message that God wants us to be really in tune with today. We look for a future hope, being with Jesus. But it's today is where we have most of our struggles of living in life. It is today here where things get in the way, where they capture our attention, they push us, they lead us over to this direction, they lead us over to that direction. Here is where the enemy wants to do all those things to distract us, so that we don't hope for the future, or we don't see the most importance of what's going to lie ahead for us, being with Jesus. So, if we're to present ourselves pure and blameless at some point in our lives, we have to come to the point where it's like, I need Jesus. And it's not just that I need Jesus, but I really, really need Jesus. Where I need him to the point where I need him when I get up in the morning. And the first thoughts that I have, if they're not there, Lord, I need you to put my thoughts on you. I need you, Lord, to help me walk to the kitchen sink to get a glass of water. And it might sound a little bit ridiculous, but if I'm sitting on the pew and Jesus is saying, hey, come, at what point in my life and what part of the day do I really invite him to be a part of my life? What part of the day do I say, God, I think I do need you at this moment? The earlier we get to the point that I need him and I really need him, that's when life begins for that day. Where is that for you? Some days it might be a little bit later in the day. Some days it might be right away. I encourage us all to make it right away. To get in a mindset, I need you, Lord. I need you in absolutely everything. And I think that in Matthew 13:44, this really captures the heart of that type of mentality. And in Matthew 13:44, it says, the kingdom of heaven is similar to a treasure hidden in a field, which a man discovered, and it could have been by surprise, or he was intently looking for it. And then he hid it. And from his happiness is going and selling all that he has and buying this field. And Jesus is encouraging and sharing what the kingdom of heaven is like. What is this kingdom of heaven like for us? Kingdom of heaven here is salvation. The treasure in this field is Jesus. At some point in time, this man came to the point and found this treasure, who is Jesus, and it was revealed to him who this character was, that I need this Savior. And he came to the point and said, I'm giving up everything that I have to come and take hold of this treasure that I have just found. He holds on to nothing. He gets rid of everything. What I find fascinating is that after he finds it, he hides it. He hides it so nobody else can find it. And the whole purpose of this is that the next part is what's most important. He finds this treasure so valuable to him, he's hiding it. Not hiding it from other people, but hiding it because he wants to take hold of it fully. But there's something that has to take place in his heart before he can fully take place of this. And I think this is very fascinating. We don't get it fully in the English, but for me, I translate it like this. The next three words, action words, are in the present. Is selling, is holding or has, and is buying. All of these are done in the present tense, to me, share the idea of he hid this treasure, and now there's no question in his mind, I'm giving up everything. I'm selling all I have. I'm going to go out and do it. I'm not going to hide back and think back, well, that's really important to me. I'm going to keep this one, but I'll get rid of all of this. I'll sell all of this, I'll keep this, and I'll have the treasure. His heart was, I'm going to give up. There's nothing important in my life, absolutely nothing important to me. This treasure is more important than absolutely everything. So he's going to give it up, all of it. He's already made that decision. I'm hiding it, and I'm selling everything. The verb didn't say he will sell it in the future. Are you with me on this? It's right now. At that moment, he came to a point in his life that said, I need this treasure, and nothing is going to stop me from getting it because I need it that badly. There's at some point in our lives that we will come, if we allow the Lord to work in our hearts, I need you to that degree, God. Nothing is more important than you. Holding on to bitterness is not important enough than you. My job is not more important enough than you. My family is not more important enough than you. There's a some point in life that we will get there, if we're not already there, that he becomes more important than absolutely anything. To be right in an argument is not more important than you, Lord. So people see me, that's not more important. Jesus is more important to be seen. So this man, he sells it and he goes away. But there are things that get in the way. And Jesus encourages in Luke the cost of following him. And in Luke 59, he says, they were going on the road and someone asked him, well, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man, he has nowhere to lay his head. If you want to follow me, I'm going to take you in places that you would not choose to go. I'll take you in a journey that you would not choose for yourself. It's going to be hard. There's not going to be a lot of comforts, but I'm there. I'm the treasure's there. You're with the treasure, me. Will you come and follow me wherever I lead you in that? And in 59, just a couple of verses later, he says to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go to bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. As for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another, he also said, I will follow you, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hands to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Just like the man who sold everything for the treasure, all he wanted to see was the treasure. That's all that was important to him. The one who puts his hand to the plow, if they look over to the side, you're gonna sway off the path. You're going to go in directions that you're not supposed to go. And if you veer off enough, you'll be doing a complete circle, won't you? Or you'll be zigzagging away from where God is moving. There's a surrender and a sacrifice. Paul doesn't want us to miss this. In Psalm 34, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there where your heart will also be. Where is our heart's treasure today? We might have started off fully on fire for Jesus. Nothing is more important than you, Jesus. But as time goes, and this is where Paul's encouraging us, there will be a day that we're going to be in the presence of Christ. See what's most important. Keep your eyes focused on what is the most valuable in life. Him. Don't let the things of the world start to creep in and start to divert and take our eyes off of him. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and profit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Have questions that we can ask ourselves. Have I given up everything for Jesus? Or was I the treasure seeker who kept a little bit back for myself? He said, I'll take enough of you, Jesus, to make me happy, to make me feel content, to make me feel safe, to make me feel at peace, that I know you, that I'll see you one day. But that's not good enough. Because when we go back to that word that was in the subjunctive, that it is my choice to be a bride that is not beautifully adorned in the presence of Jesus. Who here wants to be a non-beautiful bride for Jesus when you see him one day? Nobody's going to raise your hand for that, are we? Because that's not our desire. But what are the things in our lives that are making that a possible reality for us? That's the real question for us today. If there's nothing in your life that has taken over him being the most important in your life, stay there. Don't let anything get in the way. Let the Holy Spirit continue to share with you what are some of the enemy's lies that try to creep in, his enticements that want to take us and direct us towards something other than Jesus. Let the Spirit, let God use this message to reflect this week. What is it that could take me in a direction that would make you less valuable in my life, Jesus? This theme is going to continue through Philippians for us. That God becomes absolutely most important to us in life. Because in one day, we will see him. And the last thing we want to accept is that has Jesus become a label for us, or is he our life? Is being a Christian to become a label, or is it my life? It can easily turn into a label. But let us not that happen, because in Revelation 3:14, Jesus is talking to the church of Laodicea. It says, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold nor hot. And I wish that you were cold or hot. And the reason why he'd love them to be cold or hot is because in Laodicea there was a volcanic water source where when it comes out it's very hot in the beginning, and as it travels through the city they use that water, as it would make canals and use that water. In the middle of the city it would become warm, and at the end it would get cold again. So in the beginning it's hot, great for showers, great for baths, great soothing, it's relaxing. In the end it's great for drinking, it's cool, it's refreshing. But in the middle it's not that, it's got that irritating feel to it. You ever been in bath water where it's hot when you get in, and after a while it starts to cool off and it kind of gets a little bit irritating? At least it does to me, because I want it to be hot and I don't want to get to that point of being cold, at least in the bath. And Jesus says, so because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Do you think at some point in the journey of this church in Laodicea that God was very important to them? And then at somewhere along the line, they might have, I still follow Jesus. I still go to this church in Laodicea. God loves me. But their lifestyle was taken from looking to him as he's the most valuable and focused on something other than that. To the point where he says, I will spit you out of my mouth. I will reject you as not my own anymore. But there's a hope. Because he says, because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and I have need of nothing, I don't need you as much in my life, God. And because you do not know that you're wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked, they forgot how much they needed God in their lives. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by the fire so that you can become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself, so that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and the eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. God does not give up, but he will do this. To those whom I love, I will reprove and discipline. How we respond to that is up to us. Will I turn and make God most important in my life again? God, help me. I need you to do that in my life. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens, I will come to him and I will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes. He who continues to walk with him. I need you, God. I need you in absolutely everything that I do. So our question for us, have I lost my first love? Has something come in and swept it away? Has fear, doubt, questioning of what God is doing in my life, which is normal, and it's okay to question, but please go to him for the answer. That would be keeping him valuable in your life. I need you to give me the answer, God, not other things or other people or other situations or handling those in my own way. In Hebrews 12, and I'm going to close with this. Therefore, since we have so great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Paul's encouraging us to look to that day that we will be with Christ. We are his bride, his beloved, the one that he so desperately loves, gave his life for. I need to continue to look and meditate on that day, what it's going to be like. Because when I stop looking at the prize, when I stop looking at my treasure, Jesus, it's so easy to look at the entangling things of this world, the worries that oh so easily creep in, the concerns that can sap the passion. The beauty of it is that Jesus says, I'll correct and I'll share and I'll guide and I'll bring you back because I will dine with you and I will be with you. Lord, I pray that that our hearts, Lord, as you're sharing with us different areas in our lives that have crept in and pushed you off to the side, Lord, I pray that that we take courage, that we humbly come before you, Lord, and just let you change our minds and change our hearts. Let you reignite the passion in our hearts for you, that you are so special and you are so wonderful. And nothing is more important than you in our lives. There's nothing more important. And God, I need you in absolutely everything. Help us, Lord. Help us to know how deep we need you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.